You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday, and that makes me a very, very happy man, and I hope it makes you happy. The weekend is almost here. That means that we have the opportunity to gather together here on Sunday morning, worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hear the Word of God. I hope you have plans in place to be in God's house. The Bible talks about isolating oneself is not a good idea. And so in these spiritually intense times, it is very, very important for us to gather together. And so this is my invitation to you to come join us at Merritt Assembly of God as we worship Jesus this Sunday. And we're excited about what God is going to do. So today, I'm going to take you in the Word of God to Mark chapter 9. In all honesty, I very rarely preach this passage from Mark chapter 9. Whenever I have preached about this encounter with Jesus, I've almost always preached it from the Matthew 17 passage, and we're going to refer to that as well because there are some things over there in Matthew's account that aren't mentioned here in Mark's account. And, you know, there are some things that are referenced one way in Mark and they're referenced a different way. They give you a different perspective in Matthew as well. So we're going to dive into that. Right now we are looking at Jesus being moved with compassion. We're on our way to seeing that we're supposed to be moved with compassion. So Jesus was moved with compassion to heal the sick. He was moved with compassion to forgive, and we're supposed to be moved with compassion to forgive. And we're going to see a little bit later that we're supposed to be moved with compassion towards the hurting. So this is not just a one-time blip on the radar screen in the Word of God. This is something that shows up repeatedly. And that compassion creates an urgency in us to do something. And so if you can just get the picture of a person who is going to be having a baby and all of a sudden the labor pains kick in, and they are intensely motivated to get to the place where they can deliver that baby. That's the picture that we get from being moved with compassion. Is it's something that they are driven not by physical pain or discomfort, but internally they are driven by the Spirit of God and the compassion of God to minister to hurting people. So let me read Matthew chapter 9, verse number 17. Let me begin reading at verse number 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him and all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him, and he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, And when wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, Jesus, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So here in this passage, when the father brings his son, we see that his request, his appeal to Jesus is, Jesus, what we need is we need your compassion. And a lot of times people want to appeal strictly to the love of God. I want you to understand from this passage that there are a lot of factors that are involved in getting a positive resolution in this young man's life. Compassion is one of those elements. There's also God's ability. There is also unbelief. There is belief. And there is prayer and fasting. There's authority. So we're going to look at all of those different aspects. Let me take you back to Matthew chapter 17, and I'll read part of this. I won't read all of it here because it goes over a lot of things that we've already talked about. In Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14, it said, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And he says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And then in verse number 19, then the disciples came to him, to Jesus privately, and said, why could we not cast it out? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out or go out except by prayer and fasting. Let me take you over to one more place. And let me just find it here. Not finding the right place. there. So at one point in time, Jesus comes down from the mountain, and he, the Mount of Transfiguration, and he finds this crowd gathered around his disciples, and they're arguing with him. So when he comes down off of this mountain where the glory of God, I mean, they were within walking distance of seeing with their eyes the glory of God descend upon this mountain, and Jesus was transformed before Peter, James, and John. And they come down off of the mountain, and Jesus finds the crowd arguing with his disciples, and he said, what are you bothering them for? What are you arguing with them for? Why are, you know, my point is this: there's a lot of people who expect that there are things that ought to be happening in churches and Christian people. And I believe that it is very important that the church restore our belief that the God we serve is a supernatural God. I don't remember where I think this was in an email that I read a couple of weeks ago, but it was talking about this church that had a business that was going in next to the church, and they didn't want that business to go in right next to the church. And so the church called for a prayer meeting, and they prayed that something would happen, that God would intervene so that that business wouldn't move in there. They didn't want that business there. And after they had prayed, I don't know if it was that night or the next night or soon thereafter, but there was a huge thunderstorm that blew in. The building was in the process of being renovated for this business the church didn't want open. And during that storm, lightning came and struck that building that the church had been praying would not become an ungodly business, and it burned to the ground. And the owner of that business sued the church because he said their prayers had led to the destruction of his business. And the church said that's ridiculous. You know, we don't have, you know, any control over nature or anything like that. And it ended up going to court, and in the presence of the judge, he said, well, there's two things that I can tell you just from an initial observation, and that is that the people with the business that got struck by lightning, they believe in the power of God. They believe in the power of a praying church. And the second thing I can tell you is that the church does not believe in the power of God and in the power of a praying church. And so that was his observation, that a lot of times we go through religious exercises and we don't really expect, there are a lot of believers that do not believe that God any longer does supernatural miracles. I believe that he does. And I believe that it is once again time for the church to start saying, you know what, signs and wonders are in the Old Testament, signs and wonders are in the New Testament. The Bible describes believers, the gathering of believers, that we're supposed to be signs and wonders to an unbelieving generation. And you and I, we should be expecting that the God who does miraculous things can still do it in our behalf. With that being said, the problem society has, they attack the church, they attack the followers of Jesus and to think that Jesus is going to just sit back passively and not respond to that situation is a tactical error on the part of those who are persecuting the church. Why are you bothering my disciples? So, I will tell you this. At the end of this story, the disciples are going to receive a word from God that will help them to understand why Jesus was able to do something and they were unsuccessful at doing it. So, let's go back to the story. Here it says that one in the crowd answered Jesus and said, I'm here because of my son. My son has a mute spirit. If you go on down a little bit further, you will see that it was a deaf and dumb spirit. And the reason that I say that it was a deaf and dumb spirit is because Jesus identifies it as a deaf and dumb spirit. That's in verse number 25. Okay. So just because a person says something is a spiritual problem doesn't necessarily mean it's a spiritual problem. So in Matthew chapter 17, this was something I had my eyes opened to as I was studying, and it says here in verse number 16, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. So let me start off with that just a little bit. That word that is used for cure there means to cure or heal or restore to a right condition. It is a healing from an illness or an affliction. The word there is the Greek word from which we get therapy. There are some things in our life that we need therapy for. So when I had a shoulder issue, they sent me to physical therapy. They tried to solve the problem that I was having. They tried to solve it with therapy first. When that was unsuccessful, they said, well, we're going to have to take a different approach, and they had to go in surgically and remove some bone spurs and things like that and repair some damaged area. And then when I came out of that, then they said, now we've got to send you to therapy to restore the range of motion and the functionality of the shoulder. And you know, so I ended up doing 60 additional days of therapy after the original 30 before the surgery. So 90 days of therapy to restore the right functionality of my shoulder. Therapy wasn't the only solution, though. There was a surgical intervention that was necessary on that shoulder and then later on a different shoulder. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, as a believer, as a Pentecostal believer, my preference whenever I am dealing with a physical situation is my first line of preference is I'm looking for a supernatural healing. I'm looking for, God to intervene as quickly as possible, because as I tell people, I'm allergic to pain. I don't enjoy it at all. And so I want functionality. I don't want pain. And I want God to get the glory for it. Unfortunately, there have been many times where people have so insisted on supernatural intervention that they have eliminated the possibility of having therapy. Now, I will tell you this. Most of those people, if they have to have a medical prognosis, they'd rather have therapy than surgery and things like that. But theological arguments can get set aside whenever physical realities set in. So what I'm sharing with you today is there are some problems that people face that the cure could be a therapeutic cure. So it could be physical therapy. There's also something called occupational therapy where, you know, they come in to help you to deal with the day-to-day operations. Occupational therapy means, to me, in my mind, it says, hey, how can I get back to work? And in reality, I think it means how can I tie my shoes? How can I get my socks on my feet and stuff like that? I'm not a doctor, not played one on television, not played one on the radio. Just some of the things that I've encountered through the years is that there's some people, like when my wife had surgery, there was physical therapist and there were occupational therapists to figure out how she was going to be able to do things that needed to be done. So with that being said, there are also some emotional things that people deal with that the Word of God can be greatly helpful for, but there may also be a therapeutic cure. And so if you are looking for a counselor, I want you to understand that's not unbiblical. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. But if you're going to seek a therapeutic cure, make sure it's a Christian therapist, a Christian counselor, because the goal is to restore to a right condition. It is not to create a dependency upon the counselor. It's not to create a victim out of you in perpetuity. It's what do we need to do to get you to a place where your thought life is in the right condition, your emotions are healthy and godly and right. And so I know some wonderful, wonderful Christian mental health counselors who help get people back to where they're supposed to be. And so I just wanted to take a little bit of time. In Matthew chapter 17 and in Mark chapter 9, what happens is there is a father and a son, and the natural means of healing for this young man are failing. And so I want to put it this way. If there's a spiritual problem, that spiritual problem does not have a financial solution. A spiritual problem doesn't have an intellectual solution, and it may not have a physical solution. A spiritual problem requires a spiritual resolution. And that's what we see here in this situation. So this father was driven out of desperation. He was driven to the presence of Jesus because he wanted his son delivered. And the only way to bring resolution to his condition was a spiritual authority speaking to his son and taking authority over the demon that was destroying his life. Now, I will tell you this. that some of the symptoms are similar to a physical ramification. Okay. And so you will see times where this is, he would go into an epileptic seizure, and those things require something different, a physical problem, a hormonal problem, whatever that may be, neurological. I'm not there to say any of that. That sort of problem has a solution that is different from this spiritual problem. Jesus makes it very clear. This was a spiritual problem. It was a deaf and dumb spirit. The good news. I'm getting close to out of time here today. I want you to understand that Jesus is Lord in the spiritual realm. He is Lord in the physical realm. He is Lord in the intellectual realm. He is Lord in the emotional realm. There's not a realm that he's not able to speak to. The second thing that I will say is that every time you see a demonic presence showing up in the ministry of Jesus, that spirit leaves defeated. Jesus always ends up victorious in that situation. The Bible says that Jesus always leads his people in triumphant procession. And so what we're going to be seeing next week here as we go through this is the compassion of God is very real, and Jesus is moved with compassion. We're going to see some questions that Jesus asks. A lot of times people are so wrapped up in their lack of understanding, they say things like this: well, when I get to heaven, I've got questions for Jesus. I will tell you this, Jesus is not intimidated by the questions of any person, any government, or any educational institution. But when God starts asking questions, we'd better be ready to have an answer. And so we'll look at some of the questions that Jesus asked of the Father and of the disciples, or answered the questions of the disciples. So I want you to understand that when this Father comes and says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, please understand as you go into the weekend, Jesus does have compassion for you, and he wants to help you, but we've got to do it his way, not our way. He's not the problem. He's the solution. God bless you. You have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.